Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our dear God and Father in heaven, we're thankful this morning that we have come together in thy name, and yet we would benefit the most to be blessed by thee. We're thankful for thy word that is preserved for us unto this day, that we could read from the living word, that thy word could give us instruction going forward in our life. We thank thee for thy mercy, Father, for thy mercies are new every morning. And we pray, Father, in this day, that thy mercy would surround us and thy love would wrap around each one of us, that we would feel thy love, that we would recognize that we are thy children. And Father, we pray as thy word goes forth in this day, that thy spirit would be attached to it, that the word would go forth, that thou would bless the speaking of the word, that thou would bless the hearing of the word, and also the settling of the word into our hearts, that it would change our lives. Bless us again, Father, for we thank thee for this privilege to come before thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Our meditation this morning, with God's help, wish to remain with the word that is open before us in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1. Gospel of Mark, chapter 1.
Nađena da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću iz Evanđelja po Marku, prva glava.
Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. And preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I, after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven, saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and there was there in the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, and tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther, thence he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. and they were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, shew thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. We've read through the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, and everyone this morning who's come to the hearing of the Word of God. The Word of God contained in the Bible is a letter from God to each one of us, personally and by name. And it's a letter that he had determined should be read often, and when it is read, it has something new for us on the day that we read it. And today is the day that we read, we've opened the Word of God, not knowing what he'll speak to us, but knowing that his word will have an effect on our life if we obey it, if we listen to it, if we heed the word that is before us. And I don't know why God opened this chapter to us, but I do know one thing, that the brother prayed this morning in the minister's meeting, and it was confirmed in the song, and it's the love of God. That is the primary message. Many words will be spoken today. But let's not forget this, that God loves every one of us. Every brother, every sister, and every friend. He wants to impress that upon us. Because he knows us. He knows our future. He knows our past, what we've been through, and what we're going to go through. And he wants to go with us if we let him, because he loves us. We sang in the greeting hymn this morning about the greeting, and it says about the greeting, it's God's own greeting, as Brother Louis mentioned. Love is in it, peace within it. So God wants to impart unto us today his love and his peace. For everyone that came in here this morning can leave today knowing that, experiencing that, seeking the love and the peace of God, because he brought us together around his word. I'm reminded of the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. He says near the end of chapter 34, and it's basically what we're doing today. He says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. In other words, none of his words shall fail. For my mouth hath commanded it, and his spirit hath gathered them. So we've gathered together, I believe, because the Holy Spirit brought us here, prompted us to come, to sit down, to hear the word of God, to receive the word directly from the mouth of God. In the care of the Holy Spirit, as the Bible says, that he inspired holy men of old, and they wrote down these words. Again, let's not forget, the word is God's love today. And it's for everyone. And I'm thinking of those who are not converted. Perhaps some of you are getting older. You've had a chance. You've sat and watched others younger than you be baptized. Maybe your own siblings are converted that are younger than you. But it's not too late. God is calling you today. The devil will tell you to stay away, not to read, not to go near Christians, not to go to church, because you'll be condemned. But here's what the Bible says. In John chapter 3, we all know verse 16, right? Verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God wants us to be saved because God knows what he's doing. He created our soul. He gave us life in our body. He also will bring everything to an end. He is in charge, so he knows the best. He sent his Son, and this is in the Gospel of Mark in the middle of chapter 10, a summary verse of the Gospel of Mark. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus Christ came and gave his life. He paid the ransom for many, for every one of us. And he came, as the brother mentioned in his prayer, as a servant, a humble servant. He came, he was born in a manger, yet he came with power and authority. And we read here today of the power and the authority of which he came, which he exercised and demonstrated, and he helped bring people back to life. People who were sick, people who were possessed of devils, people who had all kinds of problems and all kinds of troubles, people who weren't even looking for him, but he came and blessed them. And we see the example here of the fishermen. the disciples of the Lord. Jesus came unto them, and he spoke a word unto them, and we see how they responded. Now they perhaps were like us, and maybe you, dear friend, they were busy, like we're busy. They had their own business. They were fishermen. They were on a mission for whatever they were doing. But he came, and in the middle of all that busyness, in the middle of the mission, he spoke to them, and the Bible says that they dropped everything at that moment and followed him. And that's an instruction for us, not only as brothers and sisters, that we should adhere to the word, and it should change our course of our life when we hear it, but to you, dear friend, those who have maybe advanced in a few years, maybe no longer in your prime, you have a chance today to drop everything, to change your course, to follow this one, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for you and who will give you power to overcome. Part of the problem with converting is that we don't have the power, and we try on our own. We try to change things. We try to fix our life, and we keep failing. But in the Gospel of John, in the first chapter, in verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, for everyone who receives this gospel, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And so the instruction for us today is to believe on his name, to receive it, to receive the gospel, to receive the word, and he will then empower us to overcome whatever it is that we struggle with, whatever it is that's in our way that's preventing us from converting. Again, Jesus Christ is more powerful than the devil. We read that here again this morning, didn't we? The demons knew who Jesus was, but they obeyed. And that's what it said there in verse 27 that we read. Everyone was amazed that Jesus came and he spoke with authority. Not only that he spoke with authority and commanded the demons to leave the people that they were oppressing, it says, and they do obey him. So there is someone who has power over the devil. It's not us. It's Jesus Christ. It's his Holy Spirit. But that power is available to us, like we read in John, when we believe and when we receive his word. He can come forward then into our life if we give it to him. And it's not a matter of asking the Lord to come along and join us in our journey. It's asking the Lord to turn our life upside down and stop us, interrupt our life, and turn us back the other way, because we were going the wrong way. And we read that, how Jesus taught, and people came to him, even as he was introduced by John the Baptist. And when he preached repentance for the remission of sin. So there is a repentance or a turning around required. If we don't repent, God can't help us. He would love to help us. But we don't have room in our heart for him because we're busy with our own life. But when we repent, when we're sorry for that, living that way, when we confess our sins, we can free ourselves of our sins, as we read here, and God can move into our heart with that power of Jesus Christ to help us, to stand us up on our feet, and to get us walking the right way. But he doesn't leave us then, does he? He goes with us every step of the way until we can get to heaven. God doesn't just point the way and say, this is the way you should go, and I'll see you when you get there. But he walks with us. His Holy Spirit, the Bible says, wants to reside in our heart. And therein is the power to walk the right way. And so we've come together this morning because I believe all of us may have already heard this. Even those friends who aren't converted, I believe you already know this. But this message has to drop from our mind into our heart. And we have to embrace it, believe it, and not let it go until it changes us. We know Jacob in the Old Testament, how he had that vision and how he was climbing the ladder and he grabbed a hold of God and he said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. That's the kind of zeal that we have to have, brother and sister and friend, because God has done so much for us. He sent his son to pay the price for our sins so that there is no more possibility for the devil to accuse us that we have a sin that we can't convert. We can convert, dear friends. Every sin can be received, confessed, can be forgotten, forgiven. The Bible says that when God forgives our sins, he casts them into the sea of forgetfulness and remembers them no more. Now, we know the devil isn't that way. He wants to keep bringing it up, but don't let him. Do as the Apostle Paul said in the epistles, forgetting those things that are behind and reach forward for the life in Christ. And so this chapter we read here today is full of examples of people who were caught, who were trapped, who were ensnared, who could not help themselves. But there is help today, and it comes in Jesus Christ. It comes in the gospel. It comes through the Holy Spirit. It comes in reading the word and believing it and submitting ourselves to that authority. And Jesus Christ will leave no one behind, not one. It says in the Bible in several places that every single person that was brought or that came to him for healing was healed or delivered of the spirits that they possessed or that were tormenting them. He came here even to Simon's wife's mother, his own mother-in-law, and she was sick. He healed her. And it says that in verse 32 that they brought more and more people. As the word went forward to all the cities and towns around, everybody brought their people that were sick and possessed. It says he healed them. That's what he wants to do. That's why he came and shed his blood on the cross. And if we don't avail ourselves to that and don't believe it, that blood was wasted, wasn't it? We don't want to have that blood that was spilled on our account, that we would disrespect it and waste it. The Jews did that. The Jews, when they would not receive Jesus Christ, they said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. They cursed themselves. Dear friend, don't allow yourself into that curse where you disrespect the blood of Jesus Christ, where you don't claim it for yourself to heal you and to bring you to the Lord. There's an example here of the leper. The leper came. And the leper kneeled before him and he said, if thou wilt. He asked the question. But the answer is obvious. Jesus said, I will. Be thou clean. And Jesus, through the spoken word, the same spoken word that created the earth and the heavens, healed him instantly. And he was healed. And we see the zeal and the enthusiasm as we read the end of the chapter here in verse 44 and 45, that this leper was healed. Jesus said, kind of keep it to yourself, but follow the Old Testament law and go and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for a testimony to them. This man was so happy and felt so good that he couldn't contain it. He couldn't keep quiet. It says in verse 45, but he went out. He couldn't help himself. He actually disobeyed the Lord, but in a good way. He went out and began to publish it much and blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter the city. But he had to go into the desert, into quiet places, and people came to him. That's how it was in those days when people were healed. And that's how it should be today. Not only that Jesus can heal us, but that we can be excited and enthusiastic and not be able to contain the gladness that we would want to share with others, and that more would come to be healed, for it's God's will that everyone receives his love and lives therein. I want to leave room for the brother in the other language.
John the Baptist. It says he was a voice. And what a contrast with Jesus, who was the Word. John, who was a messenger, and Jesus, who was the Messiah. John, who could speak of his Father and point to him, and Jesus, who pointed to the heavens to point to his heavenly Father. John, who pointed man to his own vile heart, and Jesus who gives a new heart. John who preaches repent. Jesus who demands far more than that. He says a rebirth. That's why John says, I'm not worthy to even stoop down, to untie or tie the laces of his feet. John who was appalled when Jesus came to the river of Jordan to be baptized of him. No way, he said. But Jesus, identifying with fallen man, John plunges him beneath the waters, and he rises up, and as he rises up, the Spirit descends. Dear ones, when Jesus ascended, he rose up, 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 and the Spirit descended, and he is here with us. And we, when we are baptized into his death and given this new heart, new birth, repentance towards God, meaning a change of direction. Faith towards Jesus Christ is a change in our devotion. We're new. And Paul says, If ye then be risen with Christ, meaning if we have now ascended with Christ, if you're risen with Christ, then what? Seek those things, he said, which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your love, your devotion. That's your faith. Your faith in Christ produces a new devotion, a new heart. He says, set your love, your affection on the things above, not on things on this earth, not on the things that you can see, the things that the flesh wants and desires. No, he says, set them on the things that are above. And he said, for you are dead. You're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. This is what Jesus came to preach. John, who came, who embraced the truths of the Word, who pointed the King to his error, to his sin. Man, in our own thinking, would say, that was his reward? To give his head? Why did he have to speak up? He could have just left it alone. Big deal. One King who is sinful, who is wicked, he's not going to change. Just best to keep quiet. That's not what God calls us to do. God calls us to point to his Son. As he identifies him here, this is my beloved Son. I was with him as a babe. I was with him as a boy. I was with him as a teenager. I was there with every thought that he ever had. And he said, I am well pleased in him. Later, he tells us on the Mount of Transfiguration, hear ye him. Who? Jesus. Do we know him? Do we have the faith in him? A faith that produces a new devotion. A faith that brings about a change of heart, a change of direction, a change of mind, and a new heart that Jesus gives. For us to point others to him. Dear ones, Satan thought that he had a victory. He shut John down. He shut him down. He cast him into prison. Persecution. He put him in prison. And here comes Jesus. Does Satan even try to shut us down? Does Satan even try to shut me down or you down? The way he did John. Do we preach Jesus as God identifies with him? This is my beloved son. Hear him. Does Satan need to persecute us today? Or is he quite content with who we are? You know, this week I heard probably more than, well, for a long time, constantly hearing, it is so hot. We had such a hot spell. It's so hot. People are complaining. It's hot. And then come Thursday, Friday, it cooled down. And everyone's saying, this is so beautiful. This is so comfortable. It's so nice. That's exactly how Satan wants us to be. Lukewarm, comfortable, no complaining, no hot, no cold. Just complacent. Be okay. He doesn't need to shut nobody down who is lukewarm. And the Bible tells us, don't let Jesus find you lukewarm. He can't work with us when we are lukewarm. No, dear ones, set your affection, set your love on things above, where Christ sitteth, where our life is hid in him. Amen.